This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone, 844-326-3663. The text line is open for you at 71307. 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air. I'm going to get to the cheat sheet here in a minute, but I want to address this comment. Texter says, if the playoffs are all about the most deserving teams, why not just put the top 12 teams in the country? I will tell you, I will respond to that in a couple of ways, Texter. Number one, by just putting the top 12 teams in the country, you're effectively eliminating what importance there is. And I do think it is a diminishing importance, but what importance there is on winning conference championships. And somebody asked on Saturday, I think Saturday it was, somebody asked me on Bet for the Cycle. One of the guys in the production staff was like, why don't we just do away with conference championships then, right? Like if we are talking about the fact that the college football playoffs are going to add either three or four games onto the schedule of your eventual national champion and runner-up. Why not get rid of conference championship games? And that way we don't have to worry about it. And the answer is, as the answer is to every question I've ever been asked about college football, because money. Conference championship games are a direct moneymaker to the conferences themselves. That is one of the few things where they exclusively profit. And so the conferences are going to fight to the bitter end to keep the conference championship games in play so they don't lose that cash money, homie. They want that paper. That's the whole point of all of this, is dollar bills, y'all. And so they're not going to ditch the conference championship games. In fact, if anything, they're going to push the college football playoffs to make college conference championships somehow more important than they are down the line. But here's the second question. The second question that I have is, how do you determine the best 12? Right? Like, isn't that kind of where we are? One of the things that you lean on to defend the importance of the conference championship games is you can say, well, if a team wins the conference championship, they are the best team in that conference. Like, that's a metric. Whether you like the metric, whether you think the metric is legitimate, whether you think the metric makes sense or not, that is a metric that is objective. The team, Clemson, are the ACC champions for this season. There is no debate there. But when we start talking about all of these other teams, games, etc., we start getting into the world of subjectivity, right? We start talking about subjectivity. We start talking about what my opinion is. This is one of the things that I got into it with, I don't remember who it was, somebody on Twitter yesterday was making the argument that, you know, Alabama should get in because if Alabama played played Indiana, they would be favored by, you know, 7 points or whatever that person thought. And it's like, do you understand why there are betting lines? There are betting lines because we play the games on the grass. We play the games on the grass. We play the games. This was what I screamed 1,000 times last year. The games on the grass have to mean more than the games in our head. When you say stuff like that, you are creating a world where the imaginary games that you play in your head hold more value than the actual games that we play on the field and the actual results of them. So, and I'm not even saying you're wrong. What I'm saying is the way we are determining these teams is largely based on subjectivity. The way that we play these games, the way we make these rankings is 100% opinion-based. This is one of the big problems we bumped into last year with the Final Four team playoff where Florida State got left out. And everybody said, oh, you know, Alabama would beat Florida State by two touchdowns. And my response was, so the 13 games that Florida State won, including a pair of them without their quarterback, with their backup, and they still went 2-0, including a roadie against the rival and an ACC championship game in Charlotte, and went 2-0 in those two games. Those games matter less than the imaginary game that you played in your head. What happened in the NCAA 2K matchup that you put together in your head, that's more important than what was actually done on the football field. And if the answer is yes to you, that's fine. But recognize that when we're putting together these rankings or whatever else, that value to you is not heavier than the value of whatever subjective reasons it is that I arrived at the conclusion that Florida State should go, or this year that Bama should be left out and Indiana should go, et cetera, et cetera. It is about subjectivity. Texter said, Rob, I'm hearing a lot of fans use only one element of the rules for the team selected in the playoffs. There are several rules, and there is some subjectivity. It's not the best 12 overall. Correct. Correct. This is, remember, I've been saying for weeks now, a lot of this debate and conversation could be, I'll say minimized, not eliminated, but could be minimized by putting a camera and a microphone into that ballroom in a hotel in Dallas, Texas, and letting us hear what the rationale is from the playoff committee. Let us hear what it is that they consider more important than other things. Why? So that ADs can schedule to that, so that coaches can coach to that, and so that fans can just know what's going on. So fans can just understand what's happening. Because the issue, the debate that is going on right now is 100% because everybody has their own metrics by which they are going to decide whomst are the best 12. Nobody's metrics are in line with anybody else's metrics. We all know what they are, right? Strength of schedule, who you beat, when you beat, where you beat, quality wins, quality losses, yada, yada, yada. We all know these are important, but which one of those matters to you the most is probably whatever helps your school out the most, right? If you're a South Carolina fan, the metric that you are utilizing to argue that the Gamecocks should be in is what? We're the hottest team in college football right now, right? You're never going to hear a South Carolina fan running down the stretch this year making an argument that, you know, the body of work from week one to the end of the season is the most important metric. Why? Because if that was the case, your argument for South Carolina going in is blown out of the water. Clemson fans are absolutely going to spend the day lauding how brilliant it is that conference champions get an auto bid. They're going to love that. They're going to tell you how brilliant of an idea that is all day. Why? Because if they weren't conference champions, they'd be getting set for the Cheez-Its Bowl. That's the point. That's the rhythm behind all of this. When it comes down to it, everybody is going to say the most important metric is whatever metric helps their team. Now, I got asked last night, one of the fellas, like, Rob, why? We know the TV ratings would go through the roof. Why would the College Football Playoff Selection Committee throw cameras in there? Did you see, Lonzo, did you see all of them hanging out in their lazy boys during the Big Ten and ACC championship games.
I did not see that, but that's sounds awesome.
Yeah. They had the committee, and they kept showing a camera view of the ballroom where they were watching the end of the SEC championship and watching the ACC and Big Ten championship, and they were all stretched out on these nice little lazy boys. By the way, got to be the worst football watching environment in America, right? No wings, no beer, no whiskey. Just lazy boys TVs and a bottle of water. Enjoy.
Okay, maybe for you, but there are quite a few people out there who watch football like that, like me. And it's not a bad environment. I'm enjoying myself. Okay. All right. So you're saying that you're not stimulated enough watching football, that you have to have another source to help get you there.
No, that's not what I said. That's not what I said at all. I love football. What I said is everything's better with bacon and bourbon and wings. That's just my objective reality. The point here is there was a camera in that room. And it's like the minute that those games ended and they went to deliberate about who was getting in, they shut the camera. Why shut the camera off? Why shut the camera? Let us listen. Let us hear it, right?
Because some people, it's a struggle getting out the lazy boys, so you don't need to see them getting out.
A lot of grunts going on in that room. Yeah. A lot of grunts.
Probably some people need to pull their pants up because, you know, you jump up out of the lazy sometimes. I mean, especially if it's leather, it might catch. I mean, you know.
You rocking leather pants that often, great one?
No, the leather, it was a leather.
Oh, the leather lazy boy.
Lazy boy, yeah.
You said if your pants get stuck, especially if they're lazy.
No, because the leather, I'm picturing wearing sweatpants, but I'm guessing they weren't.
Lonzo dresses like Wahlberg and Almost Famous during the weekends. Is it Wahlberg and Almost Famous? It is, right? Am I losing my mind? Doesn't matter. Whatever. Point here
I
is.
I love the movie, but Wahlberg was not in it.
That camera angle could have just been left on for the deliberations about who's in and who's out. But part of it is, and then I'm going to shut up because we're about to speed run the water cooler cheat sheet. Part of the reason that they don't do that is because we all come in here and talk about it at length for the next couple of days. That's it. It is good press, bad press, doesn't matter, give me press. That's it. We're going to spend the entire day breaking down the bracket. And if they came out and said, here's why we put these teams in this order, there'd be just be less controversy. Controversy breeds eyeballs.
Aren't you more happy that they're in lazy boys rather than in a banquet hall sitting all stodgy with their jackets on and everything at the table?
I'm glad they were comfortable watching the game. Yeah. Leave the camera on when it's time to talk about who gets in.
Yeah, I don't care.
It's like the second it was time, they shut everything off.
No matter what, whether they have complete transparency or not, there's always going to be some complaint. People just looking for, see?
I understand.
That guy right there wasn't watching the game.
I understand.
He was on his phone. So he cannot judge what happened in that game.
I understand. But what we would have is a now official knowledge of what matters to them and what does not, so that the schools and fans down the line could adjust in season and know. All right, real quick, let's speed run this bad boy. It's your water cooler cheat sheet. Water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know. You get about a minute of each one of them. Let's dive right in. Item number one. I don't even need the 60 seconds for this one because we've been talking about it all morning and will continue to do so as the show rolls on. Your college football playoff bracket released yesterday. We now know the teams that are in and when the first and second round games are taking place. Oregon gets the bye. They will get the winner of the 8-9 matchup, Tennessee and Ohio State. The Tennessee-Ohio State game is December 21st at 8 p.m. The semifinal is New Year's Day at 5 p.m. The second bye goes to the Georgia Bulldogs, who in the SEC, they get the winner of the 10-7 game, Indiana and Notre Dame. The Indiana-Notre Dame game, December 20th at 8 p.m., the quarterfinal matchup against Georgia will be on New Year's Day at 8:45 p.m. Oh, my God, we're going to be so tired the next day, dude. We're going to be so tired. The third bye goes to the Boise State Broncos. They will get the winner of the 11-6 matchup, which is SMU at Penn State. SMU-Penn State is 12:21 at noon. The winner will take on Boise State on New Year's Eve at 7:30 p.m., and the fourth bye goes to Arizona State. They get the winner of the 12-5 matchup, which is the ACC champion Clemson Tigers on the road in Austin, Texas, to take on the SEC runners-up, the Texas Longhorns. Longhorns. Clemson, Texas, December 21st at 4 p.m. The quarterfinal against Arizona State, New Year's Day at 1 p.m. Let's go to item number two. The most profitable contract in sports history was signed yesterday when Juan Soto became a New York Met. It was late last night that the contract was made official. The Met signing Soto to a 15-year, $765 million contract that includes multiple escalators that could take the value of that contract to well north of $800 million. Now, the deal includes an opt-out after 5 years and no deferred money. If Soto chooses not to opt out, his average annual pay will be upped by $4 million per year from $51 million to $55 million for the first escalator for the remainder of the contract, meaning the total value could exceed $800 million before the escalators as well. The 26-year-old had a similar offer from the Yankees, his team, last year that he decided to turn down. He was also courted by the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers. There were smaller market teams like the Royals and the Rays that were exploring signing Soto, but the money just was not there. We're going to talk more about this contract later on in the day. Let's get very quickly to item number three. I have enjoyed the career of Chris Paul, drafted nearly 20 years ago by my then New Orleans Hornets. Of course, the Hornets would make their way back to Charlotte, and New Orleans would adopt the moniker of the Pelicans. But Chris Paul got his career started. I have followed it ever since. And last night, a milestone passed with his third assist of the night over the New Orleans Pelicans, a 121-16 victory. Victor Wembanyama knocked down a three-pointer with 7:06 left to play in the first half. It was Chris Paul's third assist in a 13-assist night. But more importantly, it was Chris Paul and jumping up the leaderboard of the all-time career assist number. 12,092 passed Jason Kidd for the second most all-time assist. Here's the interesting thing. Chris Paul said when he was a rook that he was going to catch John Stockton in the assist category. Chris Paul has 12,092 assists. Lonzo, he only needs 3,600 more to catch John Stockton. If you wanted to know how great John Stockton was. Chris Paul has racked up 12,000 plus assists in a 20-year career. And he needs 3,000 more to get to John Stockton.
If he had stayed healthy, he may have had a shot.
He had a couple of years where he was dinged up.
He's missed a lot of games.
Chris Paul, second all-time in career assists, surpasses Jason Kidd. And I hope he enjoyed that celebration because I love CP3, but I do not think CP3 is going to be catching Johnny Boy Stockton by the end of his career. So there you have it, your water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories. We'll be talking later in the show a little bit more about that Juan Soto contract. We'll continue to break down, obviously, the college football playoff brackets. Got a text from a Gamecock fan a minute ago that said he does not have an issue with the CFB committee. We are going to talk about that in a minute. And a texter that just said, Rob, get off the radio. You're bad at this. It's my favorite text today.
Nice.
Favorite text today. Phenomenal start to the Monday of the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob and Lonzo with you. Be a part of the show, 844-326-3663. That is the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. The text line is open at 71307. 71307, start your text with FAN, F-A-N, Fan, F-A-M. We'll read them on the air. You can tweet me at The Rob Brown Show. You can tweet the great one at Lonzo on Word. You can tweet everybody at the station at The Fan Upstate. We'd also like you to use the Ray Memorial Hotline, which I can tell you, got a couple of those over the weekend. We'll be diving into the Ray Memorial Hotline. So if you want to jump on board, the Ray Memorial Hotline is right there for you and very easy to use. All you got to do is go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Grab it. Once you do, search The Fan Upstate. You click on The Fan Upstate, click the little heart icon, so it is always at the top of the Audacy app home screen when you open it. You can use the Audacy app to listen to the station and the show live anytime that you want. And you can use the Audacy Rewind feature, so if you start the show late, you can go back to the beginning of the show or any given segment that you would like. And all of our episodes are podcasted there at their conclusion. So if you miss a minute, no, you didn't, use the Audacy app. But once you get on the Audacy app, go to the Fan Upstate page. In the middle of that page, there's a little circle button with a microphone right in the middle of it. You click on that circle microphone button, and you can leave a 30 to 60 second voice message that comes directly to the great one. And we will listen to them. You can send them day or night, rain or shine, 24/7, 365. Say whatever you want about anything that you want and say it however you want. Have at. It's your time to shine on the Ray Memorial Hotline. Go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Go to the Fan Upstate page. Click on the button that is a circle with a microphone in the middle of it. And when you do, you can drop that voice note straight to Lonzo and I. Text line 71307. We got this one in a minute ago. That said, Rob, and let me go find it and pull it back up. Rob, I'm a Gamecock fan in the minority, but I don't have an issue with the college football playoff field. If you think of it as the best of each conference playing one another, it's perfectly fine. And in that case, the regular season matters for everybody. In the SEC, especially the regular season, is the playoff. The Gamecocks didn't get it done. A playoff with all SEC teams would not be very interesting and would cheapen the regular season completely. That's from Kyle in the Berg. Kyle, thank you very much. Appreciate you taking the time to text the show this morning. You should text the show as well at 71307. I don't hate it, and I think that's a good way to phrase it, Kyle. I think that's a good way to phrase it for people who are upset about this. Hey, we're going to take the best teams from each conference. And one of those teams is going to be your conference champion. And then once we have those filled in, then when we have those filled in, whoever's best left standing after that gets in. Except for 7 of the 12 teams come from two conferences. 7 of the 12 teams come out of the Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference. Now, we do have to, and this is a conversation I've had with many an ACC fan, had it with a couple of folks at the ACC championship game in Charlotte Saturday night. Not all conferences are created equal. And on top of not all conferences are created equal, Kyle, not all conference schedules are created equal. We have talked at length, for instance, about the Indiana Hoosiers. Indiana's schedule is, respectfully to Kurt Cignetti and the gang, kind of a joke. It's kind of a joke. They had FIU, Western Illinois, UCLA, not a good team, Charlotte, Maryland, not a good team, Northwestern, not a good team, Nebraska, middle of the pack, Washington, Michigan State, and then they wrapped it up with Michigan, Ohio State, and Purdue. Now, in a normal year, Michigan would have pumped up the value. And this is one of the reasons that I absolutely agree strength of schedule is a big deal. But I also think constant evaluation of strength of schedule matters. And I do not think that just because your schedule is weak, it means you should automatically be penalized for it, because I look at, for instance, teams that had Florida State on the schedule this year. Teams that had Florida State on the schedule ended up playing a 2-10 FSU team a year after they went 13-0 and were a Power 5 conference champion. So, you know, things change. Teams in the Big Ten that had Michigan on the schedule probably came into this year going, ah, crap, we got to go to the Big House. Uh-oh, we got to go play the Maize and Blue. And by the end of the year, unless you're Ohio State, you're like, damn, glad we got Michigan on the schedule this year. They're not that good, right? I am not saying.
It still stings, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know. It's not going to stop unless you win a natty. Then you'll feel real good about it. The reality is here that strength of schedule do matter, but I've already told you that. I told you when the 12-team playoff was announced. You are going to start seeing teams. In fact, I'll tell you what. I think I got enough time here. Nick Saban talked a little bit about this on the ESPN Reveal show. He was asked about his thoughts, and he pointed out that he thinks that out-of-conference scheduling is about to take a hit. I would like to point out, though, that the last 20 seconds or so of Nick Saban's take there was what? It was him going, hey, if you got left out, it's because you lost games, right? If you got left out, it's kind of on you. I mean, yeah, we can argue strength of schedule. We can argue how much that matters, and you're not wrong about any of that. You can make all those arguments. But at the end of the day, if you're not in this field, it's because you lost football games. And I do think that that is something that we need to hammer on, is that if you wanted in, Bama, don't lose to Vanderbilt, and you're in. South Carolina, don't choke away to LSU or Alabama. And I know Lenoris got hurt, and I know there was the most egregious arguable call in college football in 2024, if only because it likely was the call that kept you out. But go win that game. Go find a way to dig that game out. Go find a way to finish Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Either one of those. Don't get the hell beat out of you by Ole Miss. Any one of those games goes a different route, and you are in. If you're Miami, don't give up a 21-point lead on the road at Syracuse, and you are in, right? You're in probably whether you win or lose the ACC championship against SMU that you would have ended up having to play. Like, Nick's got a point. But here's the thing, and this is the part that you're never going to hear any of the ESPN personalities talking about. You heard Nick there say, you know, in the next handful of years, college football should be incentivizing teams to play better out-of-conference games and create those marquee top 25 matchups that college football fans want to see. Which, sure, good take. Agree completely. As a college football fan, I would love to see way more non-conference top 25 matchups that matter. I'm totally on board. Except for college football is not about what the fans want. College football is about what the fans will watch in the highest numbers. And when we start seeing that these round of opening round college football playoff games, when we start to see that they are turning in numbers that are on par with just the semifinal games from the past couple of years, we're going to go even further. Do I want more of those games? Yes. Do they make the football season more interesting? Yes. Did we have weeks this year that the football schedule was crap, that there was just no good games? Yes. How do you fix it? I don't know. This is going to be something that football's either got to figure out or has to acknowledge, yeah, we really don't care what the fans want. We got to figure out how to make the most money, and that's kind of where we are. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll keep talking about this. On the flip side, the Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. I want you to know, before I do this, before I tell you what I'm about to tell you, that I am telling you this out of self-preservation and respect to you as the audience. I am not doing this as a slam, as a kick, as a body slam, whatever. I am telling you this to fight off a critique that I have been hit with consistently and routinely in the coming up on in March 5 years that I have been here broadcasting in the upstate of South Carolina. Last week on Tuesday, I reached out to Steve Fink, the SID over at South Carolina. And I said, you know, Coach, we had Shane on, or excuse me, Steve, we had Shane on before the season started this year. We'd like to get him on again now that the season has come to its conclusion. I said, I know it's going to be next week, likely. I know you'll know your bowl destination. I know everybody's kind of disappointed about not getting in, but it was a great year. I'd love to have Shane on to kind of recap the year and hype up the bowl game you guys end up in a little bit. And I got an email back within an hour and a half from Steve. And he said, absolutely, it is recruiting week. It was early signing day week. He said, it's not going to be this week, but circle back around with me Monday. Either Thursday or Friday next week should work. We should be able to get them on for you. I said, great. He said, send me the dates and the times, and we'll see what we can make work. I said, great. Appreciate it. Right? That easy. That whole email exchange took an hour and a half to get lined up. And so we will be having, unless something changes, which it's major college football. Sometimes it does. Unless something changes, we'll have Shane Beamer on the show either Thursday or Friday to break down and recap and put a postmortem on the 2024 regular season for the South Carolina Gamecocks. After the game on Saturday, I was out on the field. I was covering that game in Charlotte, obviously. I don't know if you didn't see, I was alternating going live between Facebook and Twitter, because I know some of you are on one, some of you are on the other, and some of you are back and forth. But I went live for the field goal kick, for the overtime field goal kick. And I was great one 15 feet left of the left upright of the Clemson field goal, Clemson goalpost. I was right there. I went live. As a matter of fact, not only did I go live, but I got a text from our buddy Abe Gordon from 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. He was like, dude, that was awesome. Great footage. I was like, I appreciate it. He goes, you put up the field goal being good about 22 seconds before the broadcast did. That's how far behind it was. He's like, I watched the result as they were lining up to run the play on X. So, you know, point is, I was there. I was active. I was involved. I was covering this team, trying to cover what was happening. So I walked out onto the field for the trophy presentation. And as I was standing there, I was talking to a friend of the show, Susan. She's a photographer that covers Clemson. If you've seen Clemson photos or floating around on Twitter, there's a very good chance you've seen Susan's work. She's spectacular. Got a chance to catch up with her for a few minutes. And as we were wrapping up our conversation, because they were about to start the trophy presentation, I will simply say, an upper-level member of the Clemson Athletic Department standing next to the stage. And as this trophy presentation was going on, I walked over and I said, hey, congratulations, good win. Congrats on being champs. I said, thanks. I said, I'd love to get a coach on next week to talk about this. I didn't say Dabo, I just said, I'd love to get a coach on next week. And I got told, and I quote, that's unlikely for you guys. And then he walked away. Now, I want to be very clear. I get it. There
so is that you guys specifically this show or
I don't
the station?
Know. I don't know. And I want to be very clear. I am not saying this to start a controversy. I am not saying this to catch heat. I'm not saying this to be a heel. I'm not saying this to be a bad guy. None of that. Because I'm the only one that was there covering that game. Okay? From this area. I have covered this team. I have supported this team as much as a neutral analyst can. I have been at ACC Media Days 3 times now because Clemson was there. I go down every spring to media open house. I get you what I can get you. But I asked for an interview from one of the coaches. I said, I'd love to get one of the coaches on next week. And I got told, I don't foresee that happening for you guys. Now, I don't know if this individual meant me. I don't know if he meant me and Lonzo. I don't know if he meant me, Lonzo, and the radio station. I don't know I don't know what was meant by that. And I wasn't given clarification. The entity from the Clemson Athletic Department at that point turned around and walked away from me. Again, I get it. I'm not upset. I'm not mad about it. There was a lot going on. You have been the ACC champions for 7 minutes. You found out that 7 minutes ago you were going to the college football playoffs. I have no doubt that man's phone with email was full of high-level national college football writers trying to get in touch to start getting, you know, Dabo and Easton and whoever else, get these guys on cameras and microphones. I get it. And I understand. In the room that I was in, I was sitting on the second row, Lonzo. Next to me was the scout team from the Baltimore Ravens. Next to them was the scout crew from the Philadelphia Eagles. Next to them was the scout crew from the Buffalo Bills. Next to them was the scout crew from the Falcons. But there was like...
Who would they be looking at?
Kevin Jennings.
Okay.
And about half of the Clemson Tiger team, if we're being honest. Like, not the results you want. It's a lot of talent down there. But I was there. I was on the same row as most of the NFL scouts. Right up ahead of me, Andrew Adelson was ahead of me. Half of every ESPN college football writer you've ever heard of was in front of me. When I was at halftime, I went over to the buffet to get food, and I was standing right next to Greg. I was having a conversation with Greg McElroy. All right, I was in the mix. I understand that every name with any national brand value is doing everything they can to get hooked up with Clemson and with this individual. But, like I said, I cover this team daily. I walked over. I asked, could I get a coach on next week? And I got told, I do not foresee that being a possibility for you guys. Quote, unquote. So, the only reason I'm telling you this is not because I'm looking for heel heat, not because I'm looking to stir up controversy, any of that. It is because what is going to happen inevitably, is we're going to have Shane on Thursday or Friday of this week. Again, unless they ask to move it back another week, which is a possibility, we're going to have Shane on. And what's going to happen is I'm going to get 50 text messages from Clemson fans that are going to go, Rob, how come you have Shane on, but you won't have Dabo on? How come you have Gamecock fans on or Gamecock coaches on, but you won't have Clemson coaches on? I want you all to know, I asked an individual in the athletic department who is part of the responsibility of making that happen to his face, on the field at the ACC media a game, by the way, just so we're all clear, nobody from this station asked me to go cover that game. I was not instructed to cover that game. I decided to cover that game. I put in and got the press pass. I drove using my own car and my own gas up to Charlotte. I spent my Saturday night away from my wife. I did all that to give Clemson the coverage that you guys that are Clemson fans and listeners of the Fan Upstate deserve. I did all of that. I was not compensated for it. I did not ask to be compensated for it. I did that because I want you guys to have as much attention as you deserve on this program. The only reason I'm telling you this is because, like I said, inevitably, when we have Shane on either Thursday or Friday, pending a delay, card subject to change as always, I'm going to get 51 texts that morning from Clemson fans going, hey, how come you never have, you always have South Carolina guys on, how come you never have Clemson guys on? The answer is, I try. I just get told no. Now, as we all know, and I'm not letting any cats out of any bags here. We all know that there is a station in the market that is a Clemson station. It's what they do. And for the record, I actually like the guys that that work over there. I bumped into them at the ACC title game. We hung out for a minute. I bump into them and we sit next to each other at every ACC media days. We chat it up. They're good dudes. I like them. They do good work. It is a Clemson propaganda station. That's not an insult. I think they know it. That's not. It shouldn't be an insult. It's not meant to be. They're a Clemson propaganda station. And of course, Clemson's going to take care of their own over there, right? That's their flagship. They're going to take care of their own. I get it. I am letting you, listeners of Clemson fans, listeners and Clemson fans, I'm going to let you know that I went there on my own dollar, on my own time, without being asked or directed by anyone here. I went up to cover that game. I went up to take you on the field with me. I went out there to give the story. I went out there to do everything I could do. I did not ask for Dabo Swinney. I said, can I get a coach on? Can I get a coach on? Can I get somebody on? And got told, I don't foresee that being a possibility for you. I'm not telling you this. Texter said, sounds like you are kind of upset about it, dude. How about ask again in 1 week or ask 1 week after the Tigers are eliminated? I ask year round. Okay? I ask year round. And basically, I get interviews when we are at ACC Media Day with one exception. Don Munson will come on this program anytime I ask him to. And we will get Don on. We will. We will get Don Munson on in the next day or two. Next week or two. Leading up to the playoffs, I will get the voice of the Tigers, Don Munson, on the show. Don always says yes, he's a great dude. But the point that I'm making here isn't that it doesn't bother me any. It doesn't bother me at all. The point that I'm making is I went there to cover this team for you, to cover this game for you, to bring you as close to that action as I could possibly get you. I asked for an interview and I basically got told point blank to my face, no, it's not happening. So when we have Shane Beamer on later this week or early next week, looking like fingers crossed end of this week, when we get Shane Beamer on and we have that conversation, don't blast me with texts about how I'm a Gamecock homer because I have Shane Beamer on, but I won't have a Clemson guy on. I tried. I didn't go to a single Gamecock game this year. I went to two Clemson games, including the ACC title game. Neither was I asked to. I did it on my own to bring you as close to the action as I could. I asked. I got told no. So just so you know, when you go, how come you don't have Clemson guys on, point blank asked and was told no. Well, I was told I don't foresee that being a possibility for you guys. So again, don't care. I understand. You're busy. You just won an ACC title program, a title championship. You just picked up a berth to go play for the national championship. I get it. You're busy as hell. I understand. I'm not upset about it. Very frequently do I get asked to do stuff, and I'm like, I can't. I got too much crap to do. I can't do it. I understand that. I am simply telling those of you that are Clemson fans that do not listen to the propaganda channel, you listen to us, which we appreciate, that it is not for a lack of effort. I was turned away to my face point blank. Texter said, Shane has more free time. LOL, you say you don't care and have Brent ranting for 10 minutes. I'm not ranting. Again, Lonzo knows what a Rob Brown rant sounds like. This is not a rant.
I just want to say that this sounds like a little hurt in there. It really does. And I'd be interested to see if any of the coaches come on Wire to Wire. And if they do, then we know specifically it's this show. And if it's specifically this show, then it's my fault they won't come on.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely it is.
And I am not apologizing.
Absolutely it is.
So, I am not apologizing at all. So
the reality of this situation is, my bet is it's, he meant we're just too busy. Like, we just won an ACC title, we're going to the playoffs, which is fine. I understand that. This is not a rant. What this is I will, as I mentioned a couple of times, get a text.
Don't be a mark, okay? Because you're on the edge of being perceived as a mark, and you don't want to do that.
Mark, call me what you want to call me. What I am going to say is, the one thing you will not call me is unfair. You will not call me unbiased. You will not call me a homer for one side or the other. I am letting you know now, when we get Shane or whoever in the next 5 to 6 days, when that happens, it was not for a lack of effort that I didn't get Dabo or Riley or Goodwin or anybody else in that staff, because I asked point blank, face to face, and got told no. Just as a heads up. Texas said, ESPN, I get it. Oh, excuse me, fan, I get it. Dabo will be on ESPN 300 times this week. Yeah, probably. Texas said, this doesn't have to be read on air. Up too late. Already reading it. Supporting Rob here. I'm a Gamecock alum and former SID. USC has historically been really Bush League in how they handle media relations stuff. And Clemson has always been so accommodating. So strange to see it going the opposite direction. For the record, this is the first time that there has been an issue like this. USC has been very good when we have asked, that we have received. We've had Dawn, we've had Lamont, we've had Shane, we'll have them all again. Clemson has always been very welcoming and inviting and doors open, and that's all well and good, and I appreciate it. We just don't get guys from them. We've asked. We just don't get guys from them. So, again, don't care. I'm just letting y'all know that it's not because it is, oh, Rob's a biased Gamecock guy. It is, Rob Aston got told no. Just a heads up.
Doesn't this kind of make you want to be a Gamecock guy, though?
No. No, because, again, I get it. I'm sure there is very valid reasons.
Just give you a couple more years. Couple more years.
No, I have...
You'll be where I'm at.
I have zero issue with Clemson fans. I have never not had a wonderful time when I've gone down there for a game to cover one or just as a fan. I've never not had a great time at their media day. I've never not appreciated their time at ACC media days. I have appreciated everything so far. This is just 100%. When you get mad, because we've got the head coach of the Gamecocks and basketball and blah, 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 with the exception of the soccer coach, I have not been able to get Clemson guys. I just get told no, and it happened to my face Saturday. That's my only point. Speaking of faces, here's a handsome one. Lonzo's reading the Sports Flash. Most of you can't see him, but you get it.
Yeah, I'm willing to go late just for that. Kansas City Chiefs clinched the AFC West last night as they beat the LA Chargers with a doink field goal off the left upright, 19-17. Patrick Mahomes went 24-37 for 210 yards and a touchdown. The Chiefs improved 12-1 on the season and have won the AFC West for the ninth year in a row. With a walk-off win in the ACC championship game, the Clemson Tigers officially made the college football playoff bracket. The 12th-seeded Tigers will travel to Austin to take on the number 5 seed, Texas Longhorns, with the winner getting number 4, Arizona. I can't play the thing because I got to. Anyway, tune in Saturday, 11:30, as the Furman Paladins take on South Carolina State Bulldogs. It's Furman versus South Carolina State, right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.